Zero to Book is brought to you by Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing and sales podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm.
A lot of people aspire to write a book. Maybe you do, but you probably know it's a complex process. Zero to Book is documenting the journey from start to finish so you can learn how to take your book from an idea to a published product. Listen in as best-selling author Jeff Goins helps Pamela Wilson go from zero to book.
So, Pamela, welcome to this conversation.
I'm so happy to be here. You have no idea.
Me too. It'll be fun. So, you said you had an agenda. Where do you want to begin?
Well, I thought we could start by talking about why you and I are even having this conversation. Mm-hmm. And maybe just tell a little bit of that story. I'm sure you've heard this so many times, and I'm sure you've lost count of how many times people have said to you, Jeff, I have this book in me, right? I'm sure you've heard that lot.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
All
yeah.
The all the writers you work
all the time.
With. Right. Yeah. So I had that same feeling. I have this book in me. Part of the reason I started my website, Big Brand System, back in 2010 is that I thought I actually wanted to write a book. And I ended up starting a blog. And I feel like that might be the backstory for a lot of people who are on the web creating content nowadays, that they start out thinking they want to write a book and they end up creating content, which serves as a really great training ground, I think, to get your writing chops kind of honed and in good shape. But that feeling of wanting to create a book has never really gone away. And so I came to you a few months ago asking you some basic questions that I have a feeling, again, these are kind of the questions that people ask at the beginning of the process. Should I go with a publishing company? Should I look for an agent? Should I self-publish? And I was trying to work through that whole thing. And I was initially thinking that I would go with an agent. That was the direction I wanted to go.
Yeah.
And I know that's what you've done.
You know, I've done both, right? I've done the unagented self-published book and then also three traditionally published books that were sold to, you know, publishers with, you know, through an agent.
Right. And I ended up leaning towards self-publishing. I think it's going to work best for this particular book because my long-term dream for this book is that it becomes a piece of software. So by self-publishing, I hold on to the intellectual property and I can do whatever I want with it. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit too, because I know there has been some, I don't know how to call it. It's kind of like, you know, self-publishing had kind of a bad reputation. And it seems to me that it's kind of shaken that reputation at this point. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I talk about this all the time, the stigma of self-publishing. Well, you know, even like, I don't know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you know, if somebody had a self-published book, you could tell, right? Like they had like this like glossy cover and like the plastic was like peeling off of it. Or it's just, you know, terribly designed. I mean, you care about design, so do I. You could tell.
Yeah.
And the print on demand technology has caught up to people's tastes. And so you can't tell as much anymore. And, you know, you and I were talking about this a while ago. And I told you, like, my eyes started to be open when somebody sent me a copy of his book, a guy named Brandon Clements, who wrote a novel called Every Bush is Burning. And, you know, like, I get, because I'm a writer, a lot of other writers will send me their books and say, hey, can you read this? And most of the time, I like give those to Goodwill because I can't throw away a book. I just feel guilty about that.
Right.
Or I put it on my shelf and feel guilty about not reading it. But Brandon's book caught my eye because it looked like a legit, you know, book that you'd see in Barnes & Noble or something. And so I emailed him about it and he told me it was self-published and I couldn't believe it, from the cover design to the logo of the publisher that he invented
That's
to
great.
the type on the pages. It was all really, really good. And I agree. I think the stigma is going away because the quality is now there.
Right. Now, you have your own podcast called Portfolio Life, and mm-hmm. I have listened to a few of those episodes, and I heard this interview that you did with Guy Kawasaki.
Oh, yeah.
And one thing that really jumped out at me that he mentioned was this concept of self-publishing, to not even call it self-publishing, to call it artisanal publishing.
Yeah, and I love that.
I loved it too. I loved it too because it really makes it sound more like a craft. And that very much appeals to me. I have a background in publication design. And part of what is drawing me to this idea of doing a book is that I have decades of experience creating printed pieces. But all that, I left basically all of that behind about 5 years ago when I brought my business online. So I've spent 5 years putting words into this intangible thing, which is a computer screen made of pixels, right? And it's not anything that you can hold or, you know, it doesn't have any weight. It's not an object. So this idea of creating this beautiful object that people will be able to hold and that's going to take up space in the universe, that is really appealing to me. I love that idea.
Yeah, I love it too. I mean, it's very interesting. If you think about traditional publishing, it really is, it's based on the whims of the mass market. And the reason that we just kind of had to put up with that for centuries is because there was no other system that was efficient by which you could get the product out to a niche. And so either you printed this thing yourself, right, on like a pamphlet that looked, you know, kind of crappy. Mm. Or you had to basically write the kind of book that the mass market would want to read in order for big traditional publishers to want to publish you. Now, I mean, this is sort of a this isn't a completely authentic dichotomy because there are niche publishers and there are smaller publishing houses that you could have worked with in the past, you know, 25 to 50 years. But even then, like they're trying to get that book into bookstores because that was their best distribution channel. And you're still having to kind of write the kind of book that is more vanilla than you might need to write in order to say what you have to say, which is why I like this this direction for you where, you know, you want to write a book about content marketing and you know what you want to say and how you want to say it and you just need to put it out there and there's already an audience waiting for this. It doesn't really make sense to me, both for the intellectual property side of things and also the content side of things, for you to go through a traditional publisher.
And that's very true. I mean, I'm very aware of the fact that I bring some assets to the table that the average person maybe doesn't because of my position at Rainmaker Digital and the copy blogger audience and the connection that I have with them. So that's a huge advantage. But I do want to talk about that because I have a feeling people listening are thinking the same thing, like, okay, I go with self-publishing and that gives me a lot of control. I don't have to give up control to an agent. I don't have to do whatever the publishing company requires of me so that they'll publish my book. I don't have to be beholden to this invisible audience that they've created for my book. You know, there are a lot of those aspects to it that I think are very appealing to people who are going into self-publishing. At the same time, though, I think it must be a little bit scary. And that was, I have to be honest, that was part of the appeal of going with an agent and a publishing company. I felt like those people could guide me through this process because I feel like I'm a very competent writer. I have a background in publication design. So the physical writing of the book and the physical creation of the object, that's all stuff I know how to do. I'm not worried about that. But I've never done all of those things you have to know in order to publish a book, like get an ISBN number and convert it to something that you can upload on Amazon and write a great Amazon description. All of these things are new and I haven't done them before. So that was one of the reasons working with an agent was kind of appealing to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of what we want to talk about on this podcast is going through all of those steps so that people, if they do decide to go this route and self-publish their book, they'll understand all of these steps and know what they need to do to get through them.
Yeah. And, you know, I just want to say at sort of the forefront of things, there is no one size fits all. You know, you and I had this conversation before you made this decision. And people ask me all the time, self-publish or traditionally publish. There are those who would tell you, you know, traditional publishers are evil and greedy and they're just going to rob you, you know, or it's just a stupid idea because you don't need them anymore. And I think that's not true all the time. It can be true. And then on the other hand, you know, there are those who say self-publishing is just a hack job. And if you really want the good work done, you've got to go with a New York agent who's going to connect you with one of the big publishers. And you've got to get this big advance and you got to, and you know, you got to get all this great publicity and then your book will be a success. And the reality is there are exceptions to both of those rules. And I think publishing is really about figuring out how you're going to do it, not if you're going to do it. And so when people say, hey, should I self-publish or traditionally publish? My answer is always yes. Like, yeah. Get your idea out into the world.
Right.
One way or the other, get it out there. Now, once you decide to do that, you have to consider your options, your pros, your cons. But just kind of a quick story to confirm, you know, the decision that you've made, which I think is a wise decision. I was talking with an author who recently published a book with a smaller press. And she did it because she just thought this would be the most frictionless way to do it is just to, you know, publish directly with the publisher, not have to worry about self-publishing and all that. But she had the audience, she had the idea, and she, you know, really had the book. And so all the publisher was bringing to the table was the printing and distribution, which is, I mean, significant,
right?
But not impossible for anybody to do these days. So here's what happened, Pamela. She had all these pre-orders come through, 1,000 pre-orders of her book. And this is an author who doesn't have a mailing list, doesn't have a big platform. She's just sort of guerrilla marketing to her friends on Facebook and through personal relationships. And she's just done all this research on the subject and you know, gets 1,000 pre-orders. And Amazon, she notices on Amazon, like the day it comes out, it goes out of stock, which is not atypical. If you have generated a lot of traction, you know, a lot of interest around your book, you know, it'll basically sell out of Amazon for like a, you know, anywhere from like 24 hours to a week while they're getting restocked. If you're not printing through like CreateSpace, their print on demand service, and you're sending it through, you know, a publisher or another printer. Anyway, like that's not typical. Come to find out though, what's happened is Amazon has ordered books from the publisher. The publisher hasn't, you know, received the order apparently, or they lost or something. And so things are just in this, you know, in the standstill.
Like and limbo. Book limbo.
Like her book came out 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
And people have not gotten their pre-orders. So it's – yeah, well, it's not that it's not that they ship those 1,000 books and now they're out. Like none of the books have shipped. Like the publisher hasn't sent any books to Amazon.
Wow.
And she is freaking out, you know? And right. And her next step, the only thing that makes sense to me is to basically get a lawyer involved. Hmm. And so she is on the phone every day with Amazon for an hour. She is talking to the distributor and she is talking to the publisher. She's doing all of the work. So I share that because people go, well, I'm just going to go to the publisher because it's less work and I don't care about the money or whatever. I just want the book out there. And that's not always true.
Right.
That the publisher is going to take care of you. And I'm not pro one way or the other. I've self-published and traditionally published. I think you have to pick the option that makes sense for you at the time. And we see this happening, and I think this is really the future of publishing, at least for the next 10, 15 years. It's what Joanna Penn, who has a great blog and podcast called The Creative Pen, Penn spelled with two N's, she says We are all now hybrid publishers. We are, you know, like the smartest way to publish is to go traditional and self-publish and sometimes blend the two together. You know, so that could mean you self-publish a book and then you sell it to a traditional publisher for, you know, better sub rights and international distribution. If it comes down to that, or, you know, it might mean that you do what I've done where you let a traditional publisher publish, you know, the paperback, but then you retain rights to digital or audiobooks because it's so easy to do that yourself. All of those are versions of hybrid publishing where you're doing kind of a mix of traditional and self-publishing. The point, of course, is to not go, oh, I don't know what to do, or I'm just not going to do anything. Figure it out. Figure out the right option for you. But don't assume that just because you work with a traditional publisher that they're going to come and rescue you. It really has to be the right fit for the right book for the right time.
Right. So it's not an either-or decision, really. It's more like just pick what you think is – make an educated guess about what you think is going to be the best solution. And you – for the most part, it sounds like you have an option to explore – alternatives to the initial decision that you made and try something different. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, the reality is what happened to you where I think an agent reached out to you and said, hey, you know, we'd love to, you know, work with you to publish a book. Is that how it happened? Or did you reach out to them?
Somebody gave me the name of an agent. Okay. I filled out a book proposal, sent it in, and within an hour, she got back to me and wanted and sent me a contract. I mean, it was very quick, which of course, you know, it's like those things happen in your life and you're like, okay, this just got real and I need to stop and think about what I'm doing. So I did. That's when I reached out to you initially and said, I don't know what I should be looking at in these contracts. I'm not even sure that an agent is the direction I should be going. And it brought that whole decision to a head. That was how that played out.
So the reality is, you know, somebody goes, should I self-publish or traditionally publish? I ask them, well, how many traditional publishers are knocking down your door right now? Oh, none? Well, then like your options are much more narrow. And the reality is that, you know, like not every aspiring author has the attention of a traditional publisher. And so if you don't have that attention and you don't feel like you have that entree, it's possible. You did it. You know, you reached out to an agent, they called you and they said, we can shop this. And then you realized, I'm not sure that I want to do that. But if you don't have that option, then the next option is to self-publish. And the reality is for many people, that's probably going to be not only your best option, but your only option right now. And if this book succeeds, this is not going to preclude you from doing traditional books in the future. That is, in my opinion, not that stigma is gone, whereas people used to fear, if I self-publish now, I can't traditionally publish later. That's not true. I have a friend who just signed a $300,000 book contract after having already published a couple of self-published ebooks. And those books were so successful that this publisher said, okay, we want to give you $300,000 to write your next two books.
Yeah, that is quite the proof of concept, honestly.
Absolutely. Yeah, they just want to not lose money. So self-publishing in many ways can set you up for traditional publishing if you do it right, which is what we're going to talk about here.
That makes it so much easier to make that decision because when you realize that this is not a permanent decision that's going to lock you into one thing for the rest of your life, I think it's much easier to move forward. So maybe that's the big message of this episode.
Yeah, there's no one size fits all. And don't assume that one option is better than another. And don't assume that just because you choose one path that you can't go in a different direction once that path stops working for you or you want to try something new. Really, my advice is if you have the opportunity, do both and decide for yourself. I've done both and there are pros and cons to both sides. I've had the pull my hair out, you know, public experience with a traditional publisher. And I've also had those moments where I'm working on my own, self-publishing something and going, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do here. And I'm just, you know, I'm stressed. And then all kinds of successes with both. And so, yeah, I just think you do your research And some great research would be to listen to this podcast. But I do love the freedom that you get with self-publishing. And I think for many people, it's going to be a great place to begin. It's where I began. My first ebook, a small book on writing called You Are a Writer, So Start Acting Like One, was a self-published ebook. And the sale of that book, I made $50,000 off that book in 9 months, allowed my wife to stay home and be a mom for a while. And we just had a newborn baby. And that was something that we like dreamed of and thought, I don't know, maybe if I deliver enough pizzas, I can make this happen. It was the book that launched my business, online courses, and also launched my traditional publishing career as well, you know, as a writer working with traditional publishers and, you know, writing eventually best-selling books. So I'm a fan, especially for the nonfiction writer. We haven't talked, you know, a ton about fiction, but I'm a fan of self-publishing as a good place to begin for many writers because the barrier to entry is so low and the opportunity to create high-quality work is so high.
Right. I love it too, and I'm very happy with the decision. I'm also very happy to know that I have you in my corner for this whole thing because I know there are some complexities to it, and I'm very happy to be working with someone who's worked his way through those complexities and has some good advice. And everyone listening has Jeff. If you're listening, you have Jeff in your corner too. So that's what we want to bring you in this podcast is some help getting through the process and kind of a blow-by-blow account of how it works so that you can learn from it as well. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Yeah, you're welcome.